We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 2:46. I'm Celeste Quinn. With the opening of the 2009-2010 season, the Chorale is celebrating its 27th season. The choral ensemble is made up of the voices of some 60 individuals from all walks of life. They come together to sing and provide for our enjoyment. They're also very active in supporting music education. Julie Beiler is the musical director of the Chorale. She's here with me this afternoon to tell us more about the ensemble and share with us the highlights of the season, which begins this weekend with a festival chorus.
It does indeed.
It sounds wonderful. Who's your guest this time around?
Well, for about the last 5 or 6 years, we've been having these choral festival weekends. I'm not sure how they came about. I think I just kind of thought of continuously trying to think of things to interest people, singers, and audiences. So we've had Alice Parker, as you know, and Craig Jessup a couple times, and he'll be back again next year at this time. And this year, we're asking Dr. Renee Clausen from Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, to be with us to conduct his music for the most part, with one exception. It's all Dr. Clausen's music.
Can you give us a sense of his music, of his approach to choral music?
You know, I've looked in my library when I was choosing music for this particular concert, trying to save some money and going back into the stacks, as it were. I looked, and for almost the full 27 years, I've had something of his in our library. Long before I knew him or really knew about him, I just found music that was agreeable, singable, listenable, harmonious, and yet with some slight edge every now and then to give it interest. And he's very tied to the text. So all of his texts are easy to identify with, and the emotion comes easily, and it makes his harmonies rewarding for, like I say, for singers to keep it interesting, not too hard, but just enough to be challenging.
Okay.
So we've done a lot of his arrangements of folk songs, and this concert will be featuring some of his arrangements, but more than that, his compositions.
Okay. Now, you've brought a sample for us, sample of a piece of his work. Introduce it to us.
Memorial. We're actually doing the last two sections. It's written continuously, but it's easily identifiable in four sections. It was commissioned of him by the American Choral Directors Association following the tragedy of 9/11. And he wrote it in response to that. And he talks about the first section. It's very programmatic. And so the first section describes that sunny September morning with a very short section to follow, but very cacophonous and strikingly disturbing about the attack. And then the third and fourth sections are what he calls respectively prayers and petitions. And he uses four languages. He decided to use English and the Latin text from the Mass and Arabic and Hebrew. And he tells me that when he was writing it, it was really a struggle to get started. And it was an article that his wife laid on the table that was an eyewitness account that talked about the only word that was really heard on a repeated basis on the streets that morning was the word God, my God, or oh my God. And so he had the idea to go to these four languages and use it. And I think the section that we're going to hear today begins with the Hebrew word for God, which is Adonai. And then so he does them one at a time, and then he layers them all together. So the sopranos will be singing in one language, the altos in another, but the similar text, oh God, let your light shine on me, and I shall be saved.
Okay, so this is prayers and petitions.
This is from Memorial, and is sung by the Concordia Choir live at Riverside Church in 2003 when it was premiered for the American Choral Directors Association, who are the commissioners.
That is an excerpt of Prayers and Petitions from the composition of Dr. Renee Clausen, the title of the composition, Memorial. That's lovely.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
The way you described it, now thinking back to the way you described the entire piece, this must have quite an impact on the audience and the singers.
Absolutely. I heard it just this minute with you, and it just raises the hairs on my neck. He tells me that it was just such a heavy responsibility to begin to think of creating something that would represent such a tragedy. And the simple, you heard just a little simple melody, kind of like the Bali High sound on the, with the words Adonai. And then gradually each section comes in and it builds. And it's really, he's quite a genius when it comes to that kind of choral writing that is impactful.
So the chorale is going to work with Dr. Clausen through the weekend, and then there will be a concert.
Right. He comes to town tomorrow and works with the chorale themselves in the evening on Friday. We're also singing a work of his called A New Creation. And then on Saturday, we invite certain people that don't sing with us on a regular basis from the community to come, and we'll rehearse with him for the first time together. Then we'll see the orchestra for the first time Saturday afternoon, and then have a quick run through Sunday afternoon, and the concert is 7 o'clock Sunday night. So these festival weekends are pretty intense, and they kind of come from nothing, and nothing follows them. They're just there, and you have memories.
And it's a present for the community. It's a gift.
It is. We have long ago decided that we would give two free concerts to the community. This is one, and our Spring Young Artist Scholarship Concert is another. So this is a gift, and it is, I will say, it's quite an expensive concert. It involves orchestra and soloists and, of course, Dr. Clausen, but it's going to be worth every cent.
So Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at the Wesley United Methodist Church on West Green Street.
Yes.
In Urbana. No admission charge, but you would welcome donations to your scholarship fund, no doubt.
No doubt. In fact, your program will have a little envelope that says, you know, we'll take any and all contributions toward our programs. Makes things like this possible.
Okay. And then tell us about one more event that you've got coming up, and it's just right around the corner, really, the Holiday Pops.
Yes, we're doing three concerts in 2 months, which is a real challenge for this volunteer group. We're helping the Champaign-Urbana Symphony celebrate 50 years. This is their 50th anniversary season. So we will join them in December, mid-December, and sing some Robert Shaw arrangements of familiar carols and a little John Rutter, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And then, of course, it's barely 2 weeks till New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And at the Virginia Theater once again.
So we're dancing as fast as we can.
Well, all the best to you.
Thanks, Celeste.
And what a wonderful organization the chorale is, both for the opportunities that you provide for singers and for those of us in the community to come and enjoy the music. And then we didn't get a chance to talk about it today, but you'll just have to come back and we'll talk about the scholarship opportunities that you provide for young, talented musicians.
You won't have to twist my arm.
Okay. Julie Beiler is the musical director of the chorale.
Earth and Sky.
If I could sort of focus people's attention, I would actually focus attention on local dams, many of which are quite small, and many of which are more or less invisible to the local community.
You're listening to David Freiberg, a hydrological engineer at Stanford and an expert on dams. He said, counting the little dams in local communities, there are millions of dams in the U.S.
We have this aging system of infrastructure out there, and the decisions are the typical decisions that we make about power lines and pipelines and sewers. Do we replace them? Do we remove them? Do we upgrade them?
Freiberg stressed, considering dam removal on a case-by-case basis, he mentioned the Searsville Dam in California, where sediment has built up in the dam's reservoir.
The dam blocks the migration of an anadromous fish. But the ecosystem that's been created on the deposited sediment supports a very high density of nesting songbirds. So now we have this very interesting trade-off. If we remove the dam to facilitate passage of the anadromous fish, Can we predict the consequences to the nesting songbirds?
He doesn't know if both species can be protected.
There are no simple answers.
More interviews with scientists at our website. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe, offering lunches from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, and an early afternoon after hour from 1 to 3 p.m. featuring soups, sandwiches, salads, pastries, and specialty coffees. Bevere Cafe is student-operated in Bevere Hall, corner of Gregory and Goodwin, Urbana.
And we have a news story to bring you from the Associated Press this afternoon. The U.S. Army has closed its massive Army base at Fort Hood, Texas, amid reports that several people have been shot and killed at the post.